many fingers are crossed on the Space Coast. A Southwest 737 depressurizes suddenly over West Virginia, and the NTSB wants changes in airliner oxygen systems. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Recording this in the wee hours of Wednesday morning in the deserted food court at the Portland International Airport in Oregon. This is the first time Portland traffic ever made me miss a flight, and I lived here for 12 years. Anyway, I'm on standby for Southwest's 6:45 a.m. flight back to Salt Lake City. Aero TV videographer Nathan Cremasino and I just finished up a series of projects you're going to see on Aero TV in the coming weeks, shot in Washington and Oregon, and we found some very interesting sights and stories to bring you. But for now, I'm going to try to keep my voice down. Aside from a handful of janitorial personnel and a Japanese chick on a really long phone call, the airport's pretty much empty right now. But there is a group of TSA third shifters on break on the other side of the concourse, and there's a good chance they're not fans of my shampoo jokes. My last clean shirt on this trip has the Aero News logo on the front, and I'm trying to keep a low profile. But anyway, thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 15th, 2009. NASA is really hoping today will be the day. STS-127 mission managers are scheduled to huddle this morning at 8:30 a.m. If it all looks good, they'll give the go-ahead for crews to begin fueling the Space Shuttle Endeavour for launch at 6:03 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. The last forecast I saw was updated at 11 last night and called for 85 degrees and a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms late this afternoon for the Space Coast. Another launch scrub would be the mission's sixth, so here's hoping. The National Transportation Safety Board is dispatching investigators to look at a Southwest Airlines jet that made an emergency landing in West Virginia on Monday. Witnesses say a hole opened in the fuselage and the cabin lost pressure. The initial report says Southwest Flight 2294, a 737-300, was en route from Nashville headed to Baltimore Washington International Airport when it suffered a rapid decompression. The crew declared an emergency and landed at Yeager Airport in Charleston, West Virginia. On examination, a one-foot hole was discovered in the top of the fuselage. There were no injuries reported. That incident happened about 30 minutes out of Nashville. A replacement plane took the passengers onto Baltimore. The NTSB has issued a safety recommendation for Boeing 767s based on a fire that badly damaged a cargo aircraft in San Francisco last year. The 14-page document reads, in part, quote, "The NTSB determined that the probable cause of this accident was the design of the supplemental oxygen system hoses and the lack of positive separation between electrical wiring and electrically conductive oxygen system components. The lack of positive separation allowed a short circuit to breach a combustible oxygen hose, release oxygen, and initiate a fire in the supernumerary compartment that rapidly spread to other areas. Contributing to this accident was the Federal Aviation Administration's failure to require the installation of non-conductive oxygen hoses after the safety issue concerning conductive hoses was initially identified by Boeing," unquote. A lengthy list of recommendations from the board to the FAA include, no surprise, requiring operators to replace electrically conductive combustible oxygen hoses and separate the O2 system from electricals. More details can be found in the text version of this story, dated July 14th, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, NAFI offers group memberships to flight schools. There's a new accreditation program available for aerobatic instructors. And the day we share the air with UAVs inches closer. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612 747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The National Association of Flight Instructors is offering a new NAFI group membership to better meet the needs of businesses and academic institutions and help their flight instructors stay in contact with current trends in the industry. Executive Director Jason Blair says NAFI is dedicated to supporting those who provide flight instruction, including, quote, the businesses and academic institutions that provide the infrastructure that makes flight training possible, unquote. NAFI group members will receive memberships for their flight instructors, NAFI's specialized publications, special invitations to NAFI events, NAFI webpage listings as a member flight training provider, marketing packages and support from pilotjourney.com, and discounted supply prices through McConnell Aviation. NAFI member instructors are also eligible for certification as NAFI Associate and NAFI Master Flight Instructors, which the association says shows customers an ongoing commitment to providing professional and competent instruction. Master Instructors LLC has reintroduced the Aerobatic Instructor Designation Program. The program started in 2007 as an extension of the Master Aerobatic Instructor Designation that became available in 2001. The revision brings it into alignment with other Master Instructor Continuing Education Program products. CFI Rich Stoll designed the original program and served as the primary reviewer of applications for 8 years. Of the revision, he notes, quote, the success of industry-based programs such as the Master Instructor Continuing Education Program and the ICAS Aerobatic Competency Evaluation Program encouraged us to further develop this broad program for aerobatic instructors, unquote. The program recognizes three levels. Flight Instructor Aerobatic, or FIA, recognizes an individual who is not a current FAA-certificated flight instructor, but holds at least a commercial or airline transport pilot certificate, has received instruction in and passed the FAA knowledge test covering the fundamentals of instruction, has a SPIN endorsement, and has met program guidelines within the previous 24 calendar months. CFIA, as in aerobatic, is a current FAA-certificated flight instructor who has met program qualifications in the past 2 years. An applicant for Master CFI Aerobatic must have been a CFI for at least 4 years, or 2 years and have a Gold Seal status, and meet program guidelines in the past 2 years. You can get more information on all of these programs at www.masterinstructors.org. The FAA has held firm so far on its ban of unmanned aircraft in airspace shared with manned craft, but the agency is allowing testing. The FAA has issued a certificate of authorization to Kansas State University to fly the Aerosonde, an unmanned aerial vehicle operated by Flint Hills Solutions, over Crisis City. Now, Crisis City is an emergency response training area within the Great Plains Joint Regional Training Center, adjacent to the Air National Guard's Smoky Hill Weapons Range near Salina. The test authorization was sought by K-State at Salina, Flint Hills Solutions, and the Salina Airport Authority. Proponents say the UAV test opens the door to more extensive training in search and rescue operations through the use of sites that include a mock disaster-struck city, crashed transportation vehicles, and a collapsed building. K-State at Salina Dean Dennis Coleman comments, quote, this is a major step and will be extremely helpful as we continue to partner with the public and private entities to apply our research capabilities to this developing technology to save lives and enhance emergency response, unquote. Still ahead, Hawaii wants a piece of the space tourism pie. A local politician is accused of confronting a GA pilot on the tarmac. And not everybody is happy about shovel-ready airport stimulus projects. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Paul Plack. New Mexico doesn't have Hawaii's lush tropical paradise to draw visitors, so it's worked at developing space tourism instead. Now, Hawaii wants in on the space tourism industry, too. Is this a fair fight? The Associated Press reports that several space tourism companies are looking at Hawaii for operations. The companies all propose spacecraft that would take off and land like a conventional airplane, climb to about 40,000 feet under conventional power, then fire rockets to take them to an altitude of about 62 miles. A $200,000 ticket would include a week's training camp and a few parabolic flights to give customers a taste of microgravity before the actual flight. On the horizon, no pun intended, could be scheduled flights from Hawaii to Japan that would make the trip in about 45 minutes. Hawaii has budgeted $500,000 to seed the industry, but with the recession threatening the layoff of state workers, Governor Linda Lingle is expected not to spend that money right now. McDuffie County Commissioner Paul McCorkle and his brother Sammy face an FAA investigation for allegedly barging out onto the tarmac of Thompson-McDuffie Regional Airport in Georgia last week to confront and threaten a pilot who'd landed there. WRDW in Augusta reports the McCorkles said the plane was flying too low over their mother's house. Corporate pilot Dean Carrera told the TV station, quote, "He mentioned, 'If I had a shotgun, would it have reached your airplane?' I said no, and he said, 'Okay, well, next time you fly over, I'm going to try,'" unquote. McDuffie County Sheriff Logan Marshall questioned the two brothers and decided to turn the case over to the FAA. Airport employees say this is not the first time Commissioner McCorkle has threatened to shoot at an airplane. Especially in the post-9/11 world, the FAA is not amused. The National Business Aviation Association says Forbes magazine publisher and business airplane owner Rich Karlgaard will be a keynote speaker at the opening general session of the association's 62nd annual meeting and convention on Tuesday, October 20th at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. NBAA President Ed Boland calls Karlgaard an avid pilot, a respected authority on business trends, and an outstanding communicator. Karlgaard says, quote, "I look forward to being there on opening day and discussing the trends I'm seeing in business aviation and in the broader financial marketplace. I'm also eager to hear from those in attendance about the measures they're taking to help their flight operations meet the challenges present in this very turbulent economic environment," unquote. Karlgaard previously spoke at the opening general session of NBAA 2005, which was also held in Orlando. This year's event is scheduled for October 20th to the 22nd. Indianapolis Executive Airport in the suburb of Zionsville, Illinois, is in line for federal stimulus money for runway construction and erected an advertising sign for the project to share its excitement. Well, the Associated Press reports not everybody in the community is quite as enthusiastic. Somebody spray-painted $5 million Obama pork on the sign. The Boone County, Indiana Sheriff's Office is investigating. The airport's so-called shovel-ready project had qualified for a $114 million stimulus grant. There's no word on whether being whitewash-ready will earn any more money. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Flight Design USA President Tom Pagini updates us on a company milestone and on a personal project taking shape in his garage. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.